Tonight we're going to do something. When I'm reading my Bible, you know, I try to read the Psalm for the day, or not Psalm, but the proverb for the day. There's 31 Proverbs. And I try to read the proverb for that day. And today I would want us to read the 11th proverb, the whole Proverbs, but there's a lot of things in there, and no, it doesn't have anything to do about enduring a hardship and things of that nature. It has everything to do with our character, building godly character, which is so much more important than building wealth, building huge militaries, and all that. So let's pray, and we'll get right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And Lord, we do. We remember what took place on this day. Father, we again thank you that you have seen the United States through it, Father, because of what she has done for you in times past. And Lord, we pray earnestly that the United States would turn her heart back to you, Father, that our leaders would start following the Constitution laid down by men who, even though they may not have served you, they knew you were real. So Lord, we pray now for that. And Lord, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to receive your word tonight. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hope you don't mind. I'm going to look down on you through my glasses. I just got to get to Columbus to get my new ones. And I'm going to be reading too much to be taking them on and off. Although I pinched my nasal. There we go. All right, Proverbs chapter 11. Let's go to verse 1. And it's not going to be up on the overhead tonight, so. It says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Many times this is a proverb that is actually repeated over and over and over. But it goes back in to reiterate the importance of being honest, being truthful in all your transactions. That's actually more what it would be leaning toward, is your business transaction. Be honest, be fair, be right in all your business transactions. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Humility will keep us out of all kinds of problems. Pride has a tendency to push us to, that's the word I'm looking for, act stupid. You know, anybody ever done that? Okay. So we've all been on that plane right there. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. You know what it's really? It's just flat out saying, it doesn't pay to be bad. You will get caught. Everybody thinks, well, I didn't get caught here. We're getting ready to go into something else real quick in the next segment of this. It's not about this life. It has nothing to do with the 80 to 100 years you live on this earth. You think, oh, I didn't get caught. I don't have to pay. Yeah, you will pay. And I just had a thought, and it's a thought. I have no scriptural backing or anything of this, and I can't even remember what song we were listening to that triggered the thought about when people die. I personally believe that the worst part of hell is not going to be fire, not going to be being around. It's a separation from God. Okay? I just can't help but wonder if when a person dies, if they do not first get to see God and then have to depart. Because if you never go, you never know what you were missing. But if you go to meet him, you will know what it was you were missing and why it was important. Like I say, it's just a thought.
And I wish
I could remember what song we were. It was on K-Love. And verse 7. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. You know, I have to say that's the hardest part about doing a funeral for somebody who we're pretty sure did not accept Jesus Christ. If the person was a believer, I'll get up and rejoice all day long that they went to heaven. But when you know that the person maybe, when they closed their eyes and they opened them again, they saw God and he said, depart. You're not in my book. You refused my son. Their expectation perishes. See, I believe God has an expected end for every man. It's what he's expecting to happen. Does it always happen? No. Was it God's perfect will for all these bad things to happen? No, but they still happen. I believe he has an expected end, but they don't hit it. And it says, and then the hope, when they die, their hope, the hope for that expected end perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there's jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Folks, many, many, many times people, they want to have a... what's the word I'm looking for? They want the world to know they're here. They want to know, as far as churches, we want everybody to know we're here. Listen, I want people to know we're here, but not because we've got billboards. We've done the billboard thing. Not one person came because of a billboard that cost us $400 a month. Not one person. Go figure. We advertise in a free paper that goes around the county. You find it floating in the ditch during the rainstorms. And we've had more people come because of that. More people have seen our picture in there and said, you look familiar. But when they find out who I am, they say, I love reading that. The Bible says that people rejoice. The city, the groupings of people rejoice because of people like you around them, in their lives, in their businesses. If you're walking with God faithfully, if you're where you're supposed to be, God will bless you. And when he blesses you, he will bless the company you work for. That's why I pray that. The city will rejoice. That means people. Your coworkers will rejoice. One, you should be a great person to be around. There were some people I've worked with that claimed to be Christians. I wish they'd have kept it a secret. I'm like, really? Shh, you don't need to tell anybody else. We're all like you. Just the very blessing. Where were we at? You know, I've pointed this out, and I've heard some of you say you've watched it, that when you go into a restaurant or a store, it can be empty, but when you want to check out or you go into the restaurant, it'll fill up. We were in a restaurant the other day. Wrong time of the day for the lunch rush. We went in. We were the only people in there. 5 minutes later, every table around us was taken. That's the blessing of God going in. That's, you know, as far as the men's breakfast, you know, if you want to know why we hop around, it's because we're bringing the blessing of God to those businesses and to those areas. It's not so that we can get around and all, you know, I'd rather, if we're just going to get together for that purpose, I'd rather stay in one restaurant. At least I know what the food's going to be. You try out a new restaurant, well, you're taking a gamble. So, you know, but it's about being a blessing to the people. That's what we're here for. That's what we should have been doing 12 years ago, was being a blessing to this country. But to be honest with you, I think 12 years ago was almost the height of the church in its image. There's a program. That's not the word I'm looking for. But it was so worried. It was trying to build an image that the church is different. Yes, propaganda. Trying to get people to come in. We were doing away with the gospel. We weren't believing the Bible. That's why we've got this problem we've got now all throughout the entire United States. It's legal to smoke pot in several states now. Really? And part of it is because of the church. The church is supposed to be the blessing. We're supposed to be a blessing to the people, to the communities, to our neighbors. Verse 12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. In other words, you don't need to go telling everything you know about something, about somebody. 14, where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, that is true, but let me back that up with too many chiefs and not enough engines, nothing gets done. Anybody worked in a place like that? You got everybody wants to be the boss, but nobody wants to be the brave who's got to go do the work. That's pretty much the truth as well, okay? But we've got to use wise counsel. Everybody wants to go counsel with people. Why are you going to go counsel with them? Well, they're this. They got all this money. Yeah, but they're not a faithful person. They're not a godly person. That's why I don't back off from it. That's why I watch who I'm listening to, whether it's a political show or anything. What's the source? What's the filter it's coming through? How do they set their moral compass? That's what I want to know when I'm voting for somebody. I was going to ask, I've been seeing all these names pop up for township trustees. And there's a couple of them I know. But there was one I didn't, and I thought, well, you know, sometimes you do got to mix things up a little bit. Let's see what. And I started to ask somebody about this person because I knew they knew of them. And this person started telling me that anything they ever was taught how to do, how to be bad, they learned from them. I'm like, okay, now we know where they sit. That person doesn't have a moral compass. Well, that they're still better than the other person. Then you find somebody else who can do the job, but you don't pick the pervert, the twisted person, okay? We're too worried about impressing people with our abilities. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You say, well, who do I go to for financial advice? You know, I'm going to go talk to Donald Trump. You know, I'll go talk to Pat. He's a godly man. And he's made some pretty good decisions. Why would I want to go talk to Donald Trump? I mean, seriously. He's an ungodly man. I don't want to filter good advice through a dirty rag. All right. 15, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. You do know what surety is, right? That means you sign for a loan for somebody, and it says for a stranger. 9 times out of 10, you shouldn't sign for a loan for anybody, period. It's just bad news. Ouch. 16, a gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. Ooh, that sounds like a good trade-off, doesn't it? But it's not. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. You know, I was actually watching an old episode of MASH the other day, And in the show, Father Mulcahy, he's talking to, I think it was Hawkeye, and he said, you know, in your line of work, you can see the results within a couple days. He said, but in my line of work, I don't know if I did any good. And that's the way it is sometimes when you're doing righteousness. You may not see the work here. I have preached, I have told people the truth, I have said prayers with people, I've laid hands on people. We prayed with our real estate agent this afternoon, for crying out, in her office. We may not see all the things that we do, but we will in the end. This is what Jesus was talking about, laying up treasures in heaven. Treasures are, these are the seeds and the fruit of what you've done. Those seeds of righteousness that you're doing. But if we continue to pursue evil, our own lusts, our own desires, things, well, we got to keep up with the world. I don't want to keep up with the world. Now, and by the way, keeping up with the world is not fixing up your house, changing out your car, whatever, okay? Keeping up with the world is putting yourself in a position that you can't afford. That's keeping up with the world. Verse 20, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Listen, folks, blameless does not mean perfect. We all make mistakes. You make bad decisions sometimes. Blameless means you didn't do it with ill intent. You following me? It's not a permission to go out and just do everything wrong. That's ill intent. It means, here, let me see if I can explain this. You're driving down the road and you're trying to find a destination and you make a wrong turn and you get lost. You did not do that on purpose. Okay? That's what it's talking about, blameless. But if your heart is twisted, which is what the word perverse means. That's why I say perverts aren't just sexual. There's perverts in the pulpits every Sunday. They twist the word to make a message so that they can receive a bigger offering, so they can get more people in the pews. I would prefer to keep the message straight and you end up going through the gates of heaven with me. But those who have a perverse heart are an abomination. Listen, there are things, and when God says they're an abomination, that means the very thought of it turns his stomach. Okay? But if you're blameless, you're innocent, you're simple. You know what? It does pay to be a simpleton sometimes. Innocent, that's what the word means. You're innocent, you're simple. You know, there's days, and I know every last one of us in here, there are days we wish we could go back to when we were a little more innocent, a little more simple. You know, the days when all you did was rode your bicycle all day long, climbed trees, built forts, jumped creeks, whatever it was you did. But now you're not so innocent. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Folks, your children, your children's children, everything behind you will be delivered, even though the world may gang up on them. As a ring in a gold, let me back that up. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Folks, if you want to know what lack of discretion is, just go to Kroger, Dollar General, school. You will see young girls wearing their pajamas. I actually saw a guy wearing his pajamas. It felt like telling him to take a man pill. I saw this post on Facebook the other day, and it was actually made me laugh because it had a picture with it. And the story went, I overheard my daughter or my wife talking to my daughter about how inappropriate her shorts were, that they were too short. And she asked her to go change, and my daughter said no. So instead of delving into an argument with my daughter, I thought I would make a point a little closer to home. And the guy's got a picture of himself standing there in cutoffs where the pockets are hanging out. And he's in a bank. Okay, he went out, I'm thinking, oh dear Lord. And I think he's wearing boots if I remember. He might even have boots on. But a lack of discretion. See, that's why some of these young ladies are where they're at right now. They have no discretion whatsoever. They've not been taught. I praise God for every person who has been delivered from the garbage that went through the 50s and the 60s and even into the 70s, because we're dealing right now with the children and the children's children of free sex, free drugs, free living, free thinking. We're living with that right now. That is why we have these young girls. I'm almost ready to ban myself from Walmart. It's becoming a store I hate. If I could actually like Meijer better, I might. But you can't go into Walmart without wanting to puke because of the things these little girls are wearing. I'll be honest with you. Miley Cyrus is not a surprise to me. It didn't take a rocket scientist very much time to figure it out when you go into Kohl's and there's a display of her looking like a 25-year-old hooker. She was 12. And now that she's old enough, what did we expect? She lacks discretion. Because mommy and daddy didn't teach it. And yes, I'm throwing this right back on Billy Ray. He claims to be a brother in the Lord. You didn't teach your daughter. This is what we're talking about. Lack of discretion. There would be a lot less women on welfare with children if there was more discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters. This is dealing with something entirely different. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more, right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. There's one who scatters. I mean, that's how you used to sow the fields back then. We didn't have these big fancy planters. They would throw it out by hand, and then they'd harvest it when it came up like that. And the one who continually sows. Doesn't matter if that's all he's got is a handful. Now I want you to listen to me, folks. The secret to living is giving. You following me? It doesn't matter if all you've got is one kernel. Sow the kernel. I told you, I explained this the other day about one kernel of corn. You plant it. It grows. It comes back up. You take your tithe off of it. You turn around, you plant it again. You plant all those seeds. We're talking hundreds of seeds now. And the multiplication process keeps going and going and going. And that's what it's talking about, that there's one who scatters and they keep increasing. Why do you think people increase? Because they keep sowing. And then there are people, and listen, I know what it's like. Things get tight. God is the first one cut off. God is the one who can get you out of it. We had to come to a decision one time. It's like, listen, we can either keep eating out all the time or we can do this. We can take that $10 that we were going to spend at McDonald's or wherever, and we can sow it as a seed. And we started doing that, and God has been faithful time and time and time again to us. And a generous soul will be made rich. In other words, and by the way, generous does not mean that you are wealthy and have all this stuff to give. Generosity is a condition of your heart. There are some of the most generous people I have known have had nothing. I'll be honest with you, knowing when I went to Ukraine, knowing what that region was in, I was humbled and embarrassed about the amount of food they brought out to me. I was like, even though this is the farm region of this area, I know what a sacrifice this is. And you brought all this food and you fed me. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of ashamed of myself for turning down the pickled herring. However, when there was only one person at the table that would eat it, I didn't feel too bad. Especially when I found out all I did was freeze it and pickled it froze. Me and sushi's not. But the people will curse him who withholds grain. Who's a person that will withhold grain? It is a person who will hold up on it until the price gets high enough. Anybody curse BP lately? The Arabs for the oil? That's what's happening. There is no real shortage. There is no reason for fuel prices to be as high as they are. Because where the price of, what is oil per barrel right now? Is it right around 100? It's right about 100. We should be down into $2 range. Okay? Exactly. We've adapted to it. It's what they wanted to do. And they did it. And we'll pay it. But you see, that's what it's talking about. When people do that to drive up the price, you start making them squeal. But when somebody says, you know what, I'm not going to do that, they were making money to begin with. And I personally would have never let it out that we were making record profits every quarter. And like, really? I would run if I were you guys that are released that information. But if you're one who will sell it without driving up the price, it doesn't say you can't make a profit. That's the whole point of business. Okay, let's not go getting stupid here. The church is a nonprofit. We're not here to make money. Businesses are here to make money. They go out of business if they don't make money. 27, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. So be somebody who's always seeking good, seeking God's way of doing things, and you will find favor in your life. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. I don't think, when we see the word riches, we see money, gold, things of that nature, right? I think a better interpretation for this word would be he who trusts in his things. We were watching a documentary on the Dust Bowl that happened in the 30s. And they kept talking about numerous people. These farmers, they saw no end. They went, one guy just killed himself. Left a family. Left his wife and those children to deal with it. Because he trusted in those things instead of God, for starters. But by the way, And they even address the issue, and it's actually factual now. What caused the whole stinking thing was man's greed to begin with. Government said, hey, here's the land. They went out, cut down all the trees, tilled it up. Guess what happens when you cut down trees? There's no reason for rain to come. Trees bring rain. That's why they call those down in North and South America rainforests. Lots of rain, lots of trees. No rain, it's because you got no trees. Unless you just experience a drought.
Freakishly.
But if you will be somebody that trusts God and does things His way and do what's right, it says you will flourish like a rainforest. I threw that way for you. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Why? Because what we do here in reality is very... Our reward, let me rephrase that. Our rewards here are very minimal to what the rewards are when we get to heaven. When we focus our energies on winning souls to Jesus Christ. And by the way, one of those ways that we will do that most effectively is to be and act like a Christian, a real follower of Christ. Not somebody who, like I've said, I wish some of these people had just never said that they were believers. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Everybody's going to sow a seed. Everybody's going to have a harvest come up. Good, bad, or indifferent. Doesn't matter. You seed, you reap a harvest. We're in a time of life, folks, our seeds matter. And like I said before, it's not about whether you throw, if you can put $1,000 into a seed, you do that. If you've only got a dollar, you do that dollar. It's not about the size of the seed. Okay? Most of the time, if you ask God what to sow, He tells you what to sow. I haven't shared this for a while, but there was a time in my life when I was really first just really hearing God for myself and trusting what I was hearing. And I would say, okay, God, I want to sow into this ministry. How much should I give? I knew where I was at. Man, I'd hear a certain amount come up. Let's say $25. Okay, $25. I can do that. Then the devil comes, oh, you don't need to give 25. Just give 15. Ah. And I don't know. It was almost like, was it Dr. Williams? Or Gabriel, I think it was Gabriel that said, almost like he was reading my mind some other time, but he said, when I ask God what I should give, and God gives me a number, and the devil comes back with a number, he said, I learned how to shut the devil up. I double what God told me to give. He said, the devil hasn't told me to cut my offering in half in years. But your seeds for your family, your acts of kindness. I saw a video yesterday. It was actually on Facebook. I didn't share it, but I did watch it. It was over in Europe. So this guy on an enduro motorcycle with his helmet on, his cam helmet on, dyslexic today on words. And he's riding his motorcycle, and he just pulls into this parking lot. There's somebody you've seen when you pull in the parking lot there in a motorized wheelchair. And the person in the wheelchair was stuck. But there were cars driving. He had to cross traffic to get there. But there were cars driving by just whizzing by. Nobody stopped. And he stopped and helped this woman, and he's trying to push, and then he realized she's actually stuck on the other side of the curb. Her wheel is down in the flower bed, and she can't get out. He said, just hold on, I'll pull you and get you out of here. And they freewheeled it and pulled it. She went her way, he went his way. Those things are what matter. That's being a Christian. That's being somebody who's seeking righteousness, who's seeking the good. It took him 1 minute out of his day to do something good for one other person. Somebody that could never, ever repay him. Because she never got to see his face. He was still wearing his helmet the whole time. Proverbs isn't just a book about wise sayings. It's about character changing. Warning us of what's evil. Telling us what's right. And I think that if we take the time to get some of that in us, we'll start seeing the character of God develop in us more than we ever thought possible. Like I said, there's always more to faith than just speaking, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. James said, show me your faith by your actions. It's not necessarily you sowing a seed towards your new house. It's more about how you're treating other people, how you're helping people who can't get help, things of that nature. Even when there are other people who could do it, and you still are the only one doing it, God sees it. That's righteousness. And he will reward. Okay? Don't think he's not going to. All right, let's stand. And on the note of the house, I don't know. Just before we came, we signed the contract on a farmhouse with 2.5 acres. And we go tomorrow to the financiers and order inspections. Our appraisal the other day went beautifully. And the guy who's actually appraising the house said, I love these craftsman-styled homes. He said, I used to live in one in college. He said, I think they're great. So I was like, ching. And I asked him before he left, I said, is there anything on this report that I may have to deal with? He said, I see nothing. So we drove out to the place right after we signed the contract and everything. And I told Angela, I said, you know, had this guy looked at our house earlier in the year or in the season and refused it. But God shut the door on him. But had he bought it back then, we would have bought a house in the woods. It was nice and everything, but I don't think I'd have had the joy packing that I did today, especially when I've got 15 years of junk in my garage. Because I was rejoicing that I have a place to put this, because there's a huge barn. And I got some place to put my junk. And no neighbors. None. I can shoot my shotguns. Nobody's going to get hit. No, but anyhow, we just talked about that. What God's mercy is. What we thought was going to be his perfect plan. And, oh, we'd be so happy. Come to realize, nope. Maybe we wouldn't have been so happy. I had to build a garage first. You got to build a big garage and a workshop and all that. But God knew what I needed, And I think he brought me what I needed. So, just wanted to bring you guys up to speed. Because I don't know if you've been paying attention, but we've just been on the market for 2 months. June 1st is when we went up. 3 months now, I'm sorry. 3 months. We've talked to people that have been on the market for a year and a half and didn't have half the activity, let alone a serious buyer. Oh, and by the way, this house, we were the second people to look at it and probably the first one to schedule a viewing and our showing. Yeah. But it just went on the market Friday. So that's God's timing for you. I told her, I said, I should have known. He's never early and he's never late. He knew when we were going to need a home. And he knew I didn't want to move from one place to another again. Just was not looking forward to it. And it's kind of hard to go from a home you own to a home somebody else owns. And then back to a home you own. So we didn't want to do that. Anyhow, that's where we're at. So look forward to telling you even more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for this wonderful day, Father. It is a day that you have made, and regardless of what has ever happened on this day throughout history, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I pray now for these people. I bless them, Father. I bless where they work. I bless their bodies right now, Father. I pray that you touch them. Restore strength to them, Lord God. Ease their minds, Father, from any worries that they may be carrying. Father, help them to remind them to throw those worries onto your shoulders, that you'll carry it. And so now, Father, I bless them. Bless them as they go in. Bless them as they go out. In Jesus' name, amen.